Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's In Practopia. And a special welcome to the women who are listening. It is, after all, International Women's Month, the official day having just passed. My name is Kim Zha, and we're continuing with our Women Messenger series. This week, the second half of my wonderful conversation with Barbara Blake Hannah, a phenomenal Jamaican woman, author, Rastafarian. And last week we talked about her role, we talked about her passion, which is homeschooling. And this week we will continue to build on that, climaxing with her thoughts on the power or unknown power of the Caribbean woman. So I hope you'll stick around for that. It's just been a great experience for me just talking with her, and I hope that you can appreciate that as well. We will break from tradition in the format of the show and just bring you my conversation with her, and of course end the show with the announcement of next week's guest. So let's get started.
Oh yeah, it's about that time. Yes. Pride culture. Yeah. Caribbean people. Woo. Oh yeah, in Practopia, in Practopia.
In Practopia, that People, Places, Things Caribbean show is always there at www.inpractopia.com, available for you to listen to the show, watch our videos, and of course write comments. We love that. Also available for download and review on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. More and more every week once In Practopia gets posted and I do some of my promotions. Facebook is such a great resource for us right now, and I want to say a special thank you to Barefoot Contessa of the Womantra Facebook group, who has done quite a bit in sharing In Practopia with the group and people in her network. And also O. Morris Stewart of Caribbean Cultural Vibrations, who is a champion for me, Kim Zha, and for In Practopia, sharing everything that we do with all of the people in that Facebook group and also with his network. So thank you for people like you who believe in Practopia and believes that the Caribbean needs to be shared among ourselves and also people who love and want to know more about the region. Now I invite you to listen to Barbara Blake Hannah, the second half of our great, great, great conversation. And I do apologize for the sound quality. It was a horrible, horrible day here in Chicago while we were trying to do this recording. And Barbara was sitting outside in the sun in Jamaica. The weather contrast was just so polar opposite. But I really hope that you will enjoy this conversation. And I look forward to seeing all of the likes and hearing from you who've shared this powerful, powerful woman. I wanted to touch on what you said about schooling and curriculum, and that it's structured so that you learn to go and work for somebody. You learn to be part of that production cycle, not necessarily to lead the production cycle. And I found that when I was in college here in Chicago, by the time I had done 2.5 years, I felt that there was nothing new that they could teach me. And very soon there was the stock market crash, and everybody throughout the world felt it. And a lot of people out of jobs, even I myself couldn't find one for a while. So I've had to fall back on my skill, my creative skill. And I found that, and I agree with you, that there is so much that, only so much that structured learning can teach you. In your opinion, how do we get to that point where our kids are constantly thinking to be creators, as opposed to being told what to do, or if I'm making any sense at this point?
Yes, you are. The first way is to discard the current system of education, discard the curriculum, use homeschooling as a matrix to create new ways of learning. Let the children be free. 2 7-year-olds are not interested in the same thing. The two of them sitting in a math class, one is sucking it up and the other is composing a symphony. Let that child compose that symphony. We see examples of genius all over. You can go on the computer any minute and there's some two-year-old playing the violin like, you know, they were an adult. Or
yeah.
I just saw a young man in Africa who was created a 3D printer by going to the dump where computer parts are dumped, getting parts and building a digital printer for himself. A young African man. I mean, there is so much creativity in us all. And if that was to be encouraged, that's the way to go. I mean, teaching us the basics to read is all that's necessary. And a lot of us say, but I can't teach my child. Yes, you can. You would learn so much if you were to teach your child. I would love to have a job where I take all those ladies who are sitting in the market saying, but we can't read, you know, something can't, and teach them how to teach their child to read so they can read even better. Because reading is the essence. Reading enables you even to learn new languages. So, you know, the basic is your letters. You don't even need to know numbers, because just to buy a thing, you learn numbers. You give a child a dollar and tell them go buy some sweeties and bring back the change. That child, after a while, will figure out exactly how much change they must get out of that dollar. That 100 cents, if some of the sweeties cost 5 cents and some cost 7 cents and some cost 3 cents, they figured it out by the time they come home, how much change they must have and how much they spend. So learning numbers is not a problem. Even multiplication then becomes less of a problem. But learning your letters and your words gives you the world. Gives you the world. You know, we sat and read books on everything.
Yeah.
We read Homer's Iliad chapter by chapter. We read the food book. He learned about asparagus and mushrooms before he ever saw one in real life. You know, reading gives so much knowledge. I remember we had a picture we pasted on the wall of a mock-up of a sperm whale that's on the wall of the Natural History Museum in New York. And we went to the Natural History Museum and saw that sperm whale on the wall. And it's like, I've seen that already. You know, because book had shown him that. We would take people's old National Geographic magazines. Those were such treasures of knowledge and information. The pictures alone. And then came the words next time you read it 2 years later. You know, knowledge. You know, I think maybe one day the world will go back to the original state. We're almost like old times when we have to just survive on what we have. Survival
yes.
time
mm-hmm.
might come again. And I think that is what will bring out the creativity in us as it did then. Because all the things we have now were created before we had books and computers and motor cars. Motor cars were created before we had motor cars. You know, look at a man like Nikola Tesla, the things he created
yes.
out of his mind. You know, there is so much that a school will never teach us. A school is just a holding pen that keeps children there while the parents go out and work for somebody else. So I make my home be my school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, the best thing I've done. That's why I say the hat I like to wear most is the hat of mummy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mummy is my greatest title. Mummy is my crown. I love it. And I love all the children I have. I have so many children all over the world.
So, yes. You know, I think with people like you around, then all is not lost for our Caribbean children. There's so much talk about morality and our kids are misbehaving and they have no manners. But what I believe is that structure, that continuum, us passing on to younger people, what we've learned from the elders, that's where the breakdown has happened. And I think we need to get back to that some way through the form of the social structure, how much we give them back. Whether it's in school, after school activities, people who are homeschooling, social institutions. I believe that is where we need to get that back, because our people are special and we can't afford to lose our most valuable resource.
That was our tradition in Africa. The elders were the most valuable members of the village. And even in Jamaica, grandma or grandmother became the most important person. We would sit at her feet and hear stories. In my time, there were stories to be told. There were songs to be sung. My father would sit us down and teach us songs, you know, Old Black Joe and Negro spirituals. That was a family activity. Now television has come, that's a family activity, you know, mm-hmm. and you can turn on any channel, and the TV becomes the parent, and the parent is coming home late anyway, 7-8 o'clock at night, carrying KFC because she knows it's too late to cook food, and she has to get up at 4 in the morning to get them dressed to school. And the family structure has completely fallen down in this time. All the modern accoutrements of our society have destroyed the family as a unit. And we need to go back to that. We need to go back to that tradition where parenting is a treasured activity for adults. You know, there's a sad story of a little 14-year-old girl they found murdered by her 37-year-old boyfriend. I mean, what's a 14-year-old girl doing with a boyfriend? But then it's happening all over. Mm-hmm. And even parents are sending their daughters out to have older boyfriends. I mean, that's crazy. This is like the whole structure of society has imploded. And we need to change. The morals, the morality of life needs to return.
Yes.
You didn't walk down the street without saying good morning when you pass people. You know, a smile. I have a permanent smile on my face. I love it. And people love to say hello to me because I have a smile on my face. You know, my head is always covered. So the men are not saying rude things to me. The men are saying, like, Queenie, and a wife like you, may I look, you know. Those are the comments. Yeah. Those are the comments I get on the street up to now at my age. You know, because morality means something no matter what. And they will love to see the sexy girl walking down in her next to nothing. They're man. But they will always treasure and pride a woman who displays herself as something valuable, as something moral, as something mm-hmm. precious. You know,
yeah.
all of that, we need to come back. That's why I love Rasta, you know. Rasta gives us those moral yardsticks. Rasta said to me, you know, if you wear trousers, you know, a men's clothing, that trousers show your creases in front and your creases behind, you know, for sure, man, them thing there. Rasta, yes. You cover your crown because mm-hmm. your hair is your glory, it's your beauty. And not everybody to see that because it rises up the sap in a man. You don't want to rise up the sap in a man unless he's your man.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do rise up the sap in a man, you're going to have to take the consequences. I can't take the consequences, you know, of all them Monday. You know, no, thank you, it's all right, you know. Just call me Empress, just call me Queen,
yes.
treat me royally. And I'm very happy. Open the door for me. They will always hold the door open for me.
Mm-hmm.
They will always say, you first, my sister. They're not pushing in front of me. That special treatment, I still get that. And I love it.
Yeah.
Rasta gave me that. I love that. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I'm fortunate to say that I get that respect to that kind of treatment. And I think it's what you project, how people, how they receive you, the kind of good vibes that you send out. Like you, I'm always smiling, so people are drawn to me for that, and I want to be able to share that radiance that I have with other people as well. But I think what has happened is that we've become so individualistic. It's all about me and I, and not we as it used to be. But you wrote a book on parenting, so tell me a little bit about that.
Well, that was my book, Home, the First School, where so many people asked me about homeschooling that I decided to write it out as chapters. First, I wrote it and published it in the local newspaper. But then I decided to add on chapters and publish it as a book. And it's been very successful. It's been a guidebook for all the homeschooling that goes on in Jamaica today, I'm glad to say. People still buy copies. They're only available online now at Amazon.com. But people still, and they share copies with each other. You know, there's a Homeschool Jamaica page on Facebook, and they're always referring to Barbara Blake Hannah's book, Home, the First School, you know, because I was able to share that. Jaja gave me one talent, which was to use my 10 fingers to share words. I had a father who was a magazine editor, and so I had the tradition of typing and writing, and that's been the talent I've inherited, to be a writer and to use that skill to share words. So I've done that with the homeschool book, and I'm really glad that I was able to put down the record. It's important because I also shared the fact that we need to teach our children their Africanness. There's not much that teaches them to be proud of their blackness. I say black very seriously, but I say Africanness as well, because Africa is a history. Africa is not just the spiritual history of Ethiopia. Africa is the scientific and engineering history of Egypt, Kemet, the Egyptian civilizations that are ours. That, I mean, they tried to make it seem that Egypt was white people or sort of Latin-looking people, but it's African people. It's African civilization. Egypt developed from the Nile. The Nile begins in Ethiopia and flows down to Egypt. So the knowledge from Ethiopia flowed down to Egypt also. So it's important for us to know our history. Mm-hmm. Then we'll know who we are and the greatness that we have been and the great potential that we have. You know, our revolutionary fighters like the Black Panthers, Angela Davis, Marcus Garvey, the writers, you know, they are too numerous to mention, who have slowly but surely revealed to us the greatness of being black, to counterbalance the negatives we were taught about blackness, that slavery allowed them to enslave us. The slave master said, you're inferior. You don't speak English. You don't worship this blonde, blue-eyed Christ. You don't wear clothes like me. Yeah. And we were taught, this is why we've enslaved you. But we didn't know. But now we know. And teach your children their greatness as black people. Even if it's just one drop of African blood, you can be proud of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Little Miss Jamaica, she just went to the Miss World contest, or Miss Universe, I should say. And she's very light-skinned. Jamaicans were saying, how could you have such a light-skinned Miss Jamaica? But she says, yeah, but I'm still black. No matter what, I'm still black. Mm-hmm. Her grandfather is the man who carried the Jamaican flag for the last 6 or 8 Olympics, the head of the Jamaican Olympic Association. I mean, he's Jamaican, and she's proud of that one drop of black blood that makes her skin naturally tanned. Mm-hmm. She didn't have to have spray-on tan for the contest. She had that, just that little dab, and she's so proud of it. You know, we need to be that proud of it in all of us,
We do, because now there is this whole epidemic or this thing that's becoming an issue of black people in the Caribbean trying to lighten their skin. So that's a whole other education that we need to reinforce. But, you know, that's my thing for another show.
Yeah, so, the Black Cartel Syndrome.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. It's caught on.
That's the whole business of you're inferior unless you are light-skinned, because slavery taught us that. The light-skinned slaves were the ones who were born of the slave master, and they got privileged treatment. Some of them got sent abroad to be educated. Mm-hmm. Some of them inherited from their slave master parents, you know?
Yeah.
So we still have traces of that in our genes, but there is still that great pride in that little drop of black blood that makes them happy, you know. And that little Miss Jamaica, I love her so much. I definitely should have won Miss Universe. And she's so proud. Yes, she's so proud of that Jamaicanness about her, you know, that one drop. Her brothers and sisters are my color, you know. It's interesting. Her
kids, brother and sister, my color.
Yes, she just happened to get a little more light. But I know twins where one is black and one is white. Twins. I went to school with twins. The white one had red hair. The black one had beautiful curly hair. Twins. You know, that's our genetic mixture. And out of us have all people. I saw a black couple in Britain that gave birth to a white child. You know, the genetic, they're black people with blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The genetic mixtures of the world show that, you know, there's no limit, there's no line, you know.
I say that black is the best thing to be. I don't care who disagrees with me, but that's my opinion. I think black is the best thing because out of black comes everything.
Yes, black people have to feel that it's the best thing to be, because for too long we were taught that it wasn't. I grew up being taught that it wasn't. Mm-hmm. I went to England, and when they said you're inferior, I believed them. When they said if black people were so great, how come they've never painted a Mona Lisa? And I didn't know that we were Egypt, we were Zimbabwe. I didn't know. I didn't have the answers. Mm-hmm. I had to just be, oh, you must be right. We never painted a Mona Lisa.
Right.
What the hell? Now we know. You know, there's no more hiding the truth. The computer has brought the world to our fingertips.
Yeah.
Nothing is hidden anymore. So let us live and love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Still, as I said, to be Caribbean is still the best of all.
Oh, my goodness. Let's not even go there and boast about how great the Caribbean is.
I feel really sorry for the black Americans because they've grown up in a society where they are so much the minority, and they've been persecuted and held down up to today. I mean, the killing of black people by white policemen is just another manifestation of that keep down. So I feel really sorry for black Americans.
Yeah.
But they have good examples. And there is still Africa that they can use what they've gained from being brought up in the most developed country on earth.
Mm-hmm.
They can use that knowledge to take to Africa and develop it.
Yes.
So the whole business of repatriation is very important. I wish that more of us would see Africa as a place we could and should go and live in. You know, I'm maybe too old to repatriate now,
mm-hmm.
but I would certainly encourage it, especially for the younger ones, and especially now that Africa is so opened up because of technology. So much of Africa's wealth is being exploited by non-Africans,
yes.
that if only there were more of us there with knowledge, if there were more of us there who could read, if there were more of us there who could use computers, think how great Africa could be. Think how great Africa will be in the next generation when you and I are not here.
Right.
But we must help feed it. We must help be the petrol, the gasoline, the engine that feeds it for the next generation when we're not here.
Yeah.
You know?
I think people are seeing that potential. But, you know, coming closer to home, I say that the Caribbean is developing at that rate too. I say that the mm-hmm. Caribbean is the next best thing for everything that's happening in the world. And I think our people on an individual and a collective basis are starting to prove that. But I wanted to know more about your work with the Jamaica Media Productions.
Well, Jamaica Media Productions is my little company that I use as an umbrella for a lot of the business that I do. I publish my books through Jamaica Media Productions.
Mm-hmm.
It's just me, a one-woman band. But I do PR out of Jamaica Media Productions as well. And out of it, I've also organized the Jamaica Film Academy, which organized the Jamaica Reggae Film Festival. I've been involved in film really from TV time in England, where, you know, we would be sent out with a three-person crew and come back to the studio and do our own editing, voiceover, etc. So I've learned filmmaking from that time, and I've now made 8 films, 6 documentaries and 2 children's films,
mm-hmm.
One of which was shown in Chicago at the Chicago Children's Film Festival, by the way. So I've made films, and I've been involved with filmmakers. I've known a lot of filmmakers and actors, and from the harder they come time, I realize that there are a lot of films that we don't get to see in Jamaica that we need to see. And also, Jamaica is, as I said, so unique. Our culture has inspired a lot of people to make films about it. There are so many films made about Jamaica and Jamaican culture, Jamaican reggae artists, Jamaican history. There are so many films made that I thought I would provide an opportunity for these to be shown in Jamaica and for filmmakers to have a place where they can show those films. There are also Jamaican filmmakers making films in the U.S. Nothing to do with Jamaica, but Jamaican filmmakers. there was one we had 2 years ago, a film about Daisy Bates, the woman who helped the integration of schools in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
A really brilliant woman. And this film was made by a Jamaican filmmaker. So we showed that film in our film festival, which taught us something of American, Black American history, and showed us the work of a Jamaican filmmaker. We've shown films by Black British filmmakers. So Jamaica Media Productions has been a little umbrella. I do a lot of PR for reggae artists. I, you know, help them write their bios and get their music distributed globally, digitally. If they want help getting their videos made, you know, I do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jamaica Media Production has been so far. Yeah.
Wow. You know, you talked about liking the role of mommy, and also you're a woman, Rastafari. So I wanted to get your thoughts on the power or unknown power of women, and in particular Caribbean women.
Woman is to me more important even than man, because out of woman comes a child and the future. A man may plant the seed, but it's I, woman, that bears it for 9 months, that cares for it within for 9 months, and that must care for it in its first year, from it comes out of the womb until it's able to function independently. And Caribbean woman has, I think, done a good job. Caribbean woman is the one who stays up, sleeps in the market overnight to sell the food that she and her husband produced in the field. She is the one that walks with wood on her head to build up the fire early in the morning. Caribbean woman is the one who's gone abroad and worked as a maid in people's homes and cleaned the streets, people's houses, to have money to send back home to look after her children. The Caribbean woman has been the foundation of the Caribbean. Not that the man has not done his work as well. I'm really proud to be a woman when I see Caribbean woman. I'm really proud. Sometimes I'm really humble because they do so much. When you go to Carnation Market and you see women sleeping there overnight with their little babies to sell food, you have to shake your head, you know. You have to bow down to people like those. When you see a woman get up early in the morning to come to another woman's house to wash clothes all day and get home late at night, you have to bow to those women. You have to bow to Caribbean women. Caribbean women are the lawyers now. Out of university, the largest percentage of lawyers graduating are women. Our teachers are mostly women. The Caribbean woman has done us proud. I can't say enough. I love you, man. You know, men, I love man. And you've done good. But our women, we must be proud of them. Really, really. Every time.
And I hope women will take a lot from that and continue to build on that, especially if we're supporting each other as women. And we're pointing out the great strength of women and of Caribbean women. And I think that we can only learn from that. So I want to thank you for your time and talking with me so much.
I want to thank you, young lady. It's so beautiful of you to have asked me to share myself with you and with the people listening. It's so wonderful the work you do to single us out and hold us up as examples before others. It's so unique. It's so giving of you. It's very generous. I thank you very much with all humility. With all humility. Bless you. I love you. Thank you.
I have listened to this audio so many times I can't even tell you, and I'm still so moved by it. So thank you so much, Barbara Blake Hannah, for talking with me. And you wouldn't know it just by listening to her, because she's still so, so super strong. But she has been around for a long time. And by the sound of it, she's going to be around for much longer still. Next week, Dr. Joan Latchman, seismologist from Trinidad, whose life's work is the study of volcanoes and earthquakes in the region. And I invite you to come back to listen to what she has to say about her work and what we need to do as a region to safeguard ourselves from these disasters. You can find us again on www.inpractopia.com. sign up for our email list to get latest post updates and find out how Impractopia is growing. Also, sign in with our new user-friendly integration platform and let's take Impractopia places. So until next time, I'm Kim Zhe. I'll be right here in Impractopia.